when we practice vipassana meditation, we try to be mindful of whatever is at the present moment. And that whatever is sometimes matter or rupa, and sometimes mind or nama. Sometimes we are mindful of the breath or the movements, and so at that time we are taking the matter as an object. And when we are mindful of our thoughts or emotions, and we are mindful of the mind or the mental properties. So in the beginning, we just try to be mindful of mind or matter, whatever is at the present moment. And after some time, as the concentration gets better, we are able to see the individual characteristics of what we observe. So there are two kinds of characteristics we have to understand with regard to vipassana meditation. So the first thing we will see is the individual characteristic of things. So when we concentrate on the mind, then we will come to see that mind is that which inclines towards the object. So when we watch our mind or our consciousness, it seems to go to the object, it seems to incline towards the object. And that inclination towards the object is the characteristic of mind. And when we concentrate on matter, then we will come to see that matter has no cognizing power. It doesn't cognize. So that also we'll come to see. And that is a kind of the characteristic of matter. So during the stages, we have studied, and during the stages of discerning mind and matter, and during the stage of discerning the causes of mind and matter, a yogi sees the specific or the individual characteristics of things. Now, from that stage, in order to go to the next stage, a yogi needs to see the general characteristics or common characteristic of things. Common characteristic means the impermanence, suffering, and soullessness of things. Because impermanence and others are common to all phenomena, all mind and matter, all formations we call. So in order to actually, during the stage of seeing the causes, a yogi comes to see the arising and disappearing of what he observes. Say when he observes his let's say anger, then he knows that it has arisen. And also when it disappears, he knows it disappears. So arising and falling. And that is direct seeing. So from that direct seeing, he infers the impermanence and so on of those he does not observe. That is, those of the past and those of the future. So this this chapter 20, deals with that kind of vipassana, that kind of insight meditation. And in the beginning of that chapter, it is said that one who desires to accomplish this should first of all apply himself to the inductive insight. So it is called inductive insight. Actually, it is inferential. It is not direct insight. And inferential insight can come only after direct insight. So if we do not have direct insight, there can be no inferential insight. First, we must see the present thing as impermanent. And then we infer that just as this present, say, this present matter is impermanent, so the past Metta must be impermanent, and also the future Metta will be impermanent. So from what we have seen directly, we infer what we do not see as impermanent and suffering and so on. So in order to develop that that insight here, it is said that we must apply to the inductive insight called comprehension by groups. So the beginning part of this chapter deals with this insight, comprehension by groups or inductive insight. And with regard to this insight, the author mentions the three kinds of full understanding, the full understanding as the known, full understanding as investigating, and full understanding as abandoning. Actually, we have gone through these parts. So, the full understanding as the known is when we see the individual characteristics of things. So now a yogi is to go into the second stage, which is full understanding as investigating. So, how does a yogi practice insight comprehension by group? Now, whenever metta or something is mentioned, Buddha mentions that or describes that as of past, future, present, internal, external, gross, subtle, and so on. So there are 11 of that, those things. Those are given in paragraph 6. So any materiality whatever, whether past, future, present, 3, internal, external, 5, gross, subtle, 7, inferior, superior, 9, far, near, 11. So this, with regard to these 11 aspects, materiality is described, and different kinds of materiality are described. So, now when a yogi does comprehension by group, he does not take each one of the material properties separately, but just the materiality as a group, as one, and then materiality which belongs to the past is impermanent, and materiality which belongs to the future is impermanent, and so on. So when he takes matter as a whole and not as, say, not taking as earth element, water element, and so on separately, then he is said to be doing the comprehension by groups. Actually, groups means just as taking rupa. I mean, if it is rupa, taking rupa as a whole. So a person can practice this meditation on rupa as all rupa is impermanent. That is one comprehension. Or he can take rupa with reference to the 11 aspects. So rupa in the past is impermanent, rupa in the present is impermanent, rupa in the future is impermanent, and then the internal rupa is impermanent, external rupa is impermanent, and so on. If he does that way, then he is said to be doing in 11 different ways. So there can be one comprehension, or there can be 11 comprehension. So they are described in the following paragraphs. Now if you look at paragraph 13, it is said there that here is the application of directions dealing with the aggregates. Any materiality whatever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, far or near, he defines all materiality as impermanent. This is one kind of comprehension. And then, one word is missing there, or it is stated in, what do you call that? in a brief, elliptical way. So, you see only two there, right? Impermanent and not self. What is missing? Dukkha, I mean, suffering is missing. So, there must be something like painful. He defines as painful. And then dots, he defines as not self. This is one kind of comprehension. So, this is taking rupa as a whole. And then also taking rupa as a whole, but with reference to first and so on, we get 11 kinds of contemplation. So, towards the end of the paragraph 14, it is said that, and all this is impermanent in the sense of destruction. Accordingly, there is one kind of comprehension in this way. But it is effected in 11 ways. So it can be only one kind of contemplation or 11 kinds of contemplation. If we take rupa as a whole, then it is one kind of contemplation. If we take rupa with reference to past, future, present, and so on, then we get 11 ways of contemplating on matter or materiality. Just as there is one or 11 contemplations with regard to impermanence, there are one or 11 with regard to suffering or painful, paragraph 15, and the same with anatta. No self in paragraph 16. So one contemplation or 11 contemplation. Now the word anatta. In paragraph 16 we have one meaning of the word anatta, and that is what? In the sense of having no core. So this is one meaning of anatta. The word anatta is defined as meaning, to have different meanings. So one meaning is that there is no core. That is why it is called anatta. So when we say rupa is anatta, we mean rupa has no inner core or substance or whatever. So this is one meaning or one interpretation of the word anatta. We'll meet another interpretation later. And after doing this, and also with regard to the other aggregates, feeling and so on, the yogi is instructed to view mind and matter in 40 different ways. That is paragraph 18 and so on. So strengthening of comprehension of impermanence, etc. in 40 ways. So they are given in brief, and also each term is defined later in paragraph 19. So these begin with, end with the word, the sound to in Pali. So anicca to, dukkha to, roga to, gandha to, and so on. So in Burma, these are called 40 to's. You know, the word to in Burmese means a forest. So it is something like a play of words. The word to really is a Pali particle. It is a suffix, which means as, or from, or because of. So here, as. So the Pali word to is taken to mean something like a forest here. So we have 40 to's. So 40 ways of looking at mind and matter. And these 40 ways are later divided into meaning impermanence, painfulness, and no self. So as I said last week, we have to add, we have to make changes somewhere in paragraph 19, at the bottom of paragraph 19, and if you come up two or three lines, you see adversity and because of being. So the word and should be rubbed out, and then estera should be put there. So estera, because of being the basis for all kinds of terror. And on page 712, about 15 lines down, the word vain should be in italics, and that's not so important, but it should be in italics. So we get altogether 40 different ways of contemplating on nama and rupa, actually. And in paragraph 20, these are grouped with regard to impermanence, suffering, and not-self. Now, there are 50 kinds of contemplation of impermanence here by taking the following 10 in the case of each aggregate, as impermanent, as a disintegrating, as fickle, and so on. There are 25 kinds of contemplation of not-self. And then there are 25 kinds of contemplation on pain, by taking the rest beginning with the painful as a disease and so on. So these 40 are divided into three groups: the impermanence, pain, and not-self. So after viewing mind and matter in this way, the yogi is instructed to sharpen his faculties. That is, if he cannot bring this contemplation to success, if he does not succeed in contemplating this in this way, then he should sharpen his faculties, by the way stated in paragraph 21. That is, one, he sees only the destruction of arisen formations, and in that occupation he makes sure of working carefully and so on. So he has to sharpen his faculties by these methods. And there, number 8, wherein he overcomes pain by renunciation. What does that mean? Overcome pain by renunciation. Here, renunciation simply means effort. The Pali word is sometimes misleading. Nikkhamma. Nikkhamma means to get out of. So we are to get out of laziness. So that means virya or effort. So to overcome pain by renunciation really means overcome pain by effort, making effort. So he should avoid the 7 unsuitable things in the way stated in the description of Adhikasena. They are explained before, and cultivate the 7 suitable things, and he should comprehend the material at one time and the immaterial at another. So at one time, he should concentrate and contemplate on rupa, matter, and at another time on nama, or immaterial things. Now, contemplation of the material. While comprehending materiality, he should see how materiality is generated. So how it arises, or its arising, its generation, that should be the object of his meditation at that time. So that is to say, how this materiality is generated by the 4 causes, beginning with karma. So there are 4 causes of matter. I think you have met them before. Chapter 19, paragraph 9. Those are what? Karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutrition. So when materiality is being generated in any being, it is first generated from karma. So the first matter that arises at a given, that arises at the beginning of a given life is generated by karma, or is a result of karma. For at the actual moment of rebirth linking of a child in the womb, first, 30 instances of materiality, that means 30 material properties are generated in the triple continuity, in other words, the decades of physical heart, basis, body and sex. So the decade of physical heart, basis, the decade of body and the decade of sex. And those are generated at the actual instant of the rebirth linking consciousnesses arising. And as at the instant of its arising, so too at the instant of its presence and at the instant of its dissolution. Now, there are material properties generated by karma. And these material properties generated by karma arise at the very first moment in one's life. And each moment has three sub-moments. So at every sub-moment also, the matter generated by karma arises. So at every moment, the karma-bound matter arises all through the life until very, very close to the moment of death. So at all three instances, three sub-moments, the karma-bound matter is generated. So at the first moment, at the arising moment, let's say, he says here how many, 30, right? So at the arising moment, there are 30, right? And these 30 will exist for 17 thought moments. So now, at the moment of sub-moment of presence or static moment, another 30 are produced. So at that moment there are 60. The first 30 and then the new 30. So there are 60. At the dissolution moment of relinking consciousness, another 30 are produced. And so at that moment there are 90. And then at the next moment there are 120 and so on. So until it goes to the 17 thought moments. After 17 thought moments, the number will be constant. Because 3 produce and 3 disappearing, something like that. Or 30 produce and 30 disappearing. Herein, the cessation of materiality is slow and its transformation ponderous. We should note this. This means that materiality or matter is slow in dissolution. That means matter, the life of matter is longer than the life of consciousness. Matter exists 17 times that of a thought moment. So, when matter arises, it will last for 17 thought moments before it disappears. So, cessation of materiality is slow. That means it has a longer life than a thought moment. And its transformation ponderous, while the cessation of consciousness is swift and its transformation quick. But the arising and disappearing of thought moments are quick. Just one moment, or say one big moment or three small moments. Hence it is said, because I see no other one thing that is so quickly transformed as the mind. That is the word of the Buddha. For the life continuum consciousness arises and ceases 16 times while one material instance endures. Now, those that are produced at the first moment of life relinking will last until the 17th thought moment. So, while 16 thought moments come and go, they still exist. With consciousness, the instant of arising, instant of presence, that being static stage, and instant of dissolution are equal. They are same. So, I said that the life of a material property is 17 thought moments, right? So, how many small moments? 51 small moments, right? 17 big moments, 51 small moments. Now, the instant of arising, the instant of presence, then the instant of dissolution. With regard to consciousness, these three instances are of equal duration, are equal, the same. But with regard to material property, then instance of arising is one small moment or one sub moment. The instance of dissolution, one sub moment. And the 49 thought moments in between are one instance of presence for material property. Do you follow? Matter. Matter lasts for 51 small moments, right? 51 small moments of consciousness. So the arising, the presence, and the dissolution of matter is different from the presence, the arising, presence, and dissolution of consciousness, right? Now the arising and the dissolution of both mind and matter are equal, just one sub moment. But the presence of consciousness is only one sub moment, but the presence of matter is 49 sub moments. So with consciousness, the instant of arising, instant of presence, and instant of dissolution are equal. But with materiality, only the instants of arising and dissolution are quick, like those of consciousness, while the instant of its presence is long and lasts, while 16 consciousnesses arise and cease. That means, after its arising, the 16 consciousnesses. Now, paragraph 25, that is important. The second life continuum. But the author has not mentioned the first life continuum, right? If you read it before you come to the class, I was wondering what you understand by that. Now, the actual meaning here is the life continuum as a second consciousness arises. Now, the relinking consciousness is the first consciousness, and then life continuum is the second consciousness. So here the translation should not be second life continuum, but the life continuum as a second consciousness arises. The Pali word, you are familiar with dutiyampi, tatiyampi, right? When you take refuge, you say dutiyampi bodhang saranang gacchami, and so on. So from the word dutiyampi, if you take out P, you get dutiyam. Now that word can be an adjective or an adverb. Here it is an adverb, not an adjective. So in the Pali it is a dutiyam bawangang. Bawangang means life continuum. So dutiyam bawangang. That does not mean the second bawangang, but as a second consciousness, bhavanga arises. So here also, the life continuum as second consciousness arises, with the brainness and physical heart basis as its support, and which has already reached presence and arose at the rebirth leaning consciousness as instant of arising. That also is not accurate. He put the what is to be at the end. He put it in front. Now here it should be the translation should run like this: the life continuum as a second consciousness arises with the pre-nascent physical heart basis as its support, which arose at the rebirth linking consciousness as instant of arising and has already reached presence. Sequence should be like that. We cannot change that sequence here. Because it must first arise, and then it must reach the instant of presence. So that means when life continuum arises, the heart base which arose at the moment of the relinking has reached the present, the instant of presence. Now, so here is relinking consciousness, one, and two, life continuum consciousness. So, the heart base arose with life relinking consciousness. And so at the moment of the first moment, it is arising. But later on, it has reached its presence, or the static stage. So when it is in its static stage, the second consciousness, or the bhavanga, arises. And that bhavanga arises depending upon this heart base. So that is what the author is talking here. So the life continuum arises with the pre-nascent physical heart basis as its support. So that heart basis has already arisen, and now it has reached the stage of presence. And at that moment, the life continuum arises, and so it arises, taking the heart base as its support. So the pre-nascent physical heart base is as its support, which arose at the rebirth linking consciousness as instant of arising and has already reached presence. Now, the third life continuum, the same. The life continuum as a third consciousness arises. Now, for your information, after relinking consciousness, there are how many arisings of life continuum? 16. So there are 16 life continuum consciousness arising after relinking consciousness. So here, third means not the third life continuum, because it is really the second continuum. So the life continuum as the third consciousness arises with the brainness and physical basis as its support and so on. So it goes this way, that way. With the arising moment of first life continuum, there arises heart basis. But when the second life continuum arises, that heart basis has reached its present state, and then it forms a basis for the second life continuum, and like this, going the later consciousness taking support as the heart basis which arose at least one big moment before its arising. If you say put the numbers 1, 2, 3 and 4, let us say number 2 consciousness arises taking heart basis which arose with number 1 consciousness as its support. And then number 3 consciousness arises taking the heart basis which arose with the second consciousness as its support and so on. So on. So it can go all through our life, so to happen in this way throughout life. But in one who is facing death, 16 consciousnesses arise with a single pre-nascent physical heart basis as their support, which has already reached presence. Now, when a person is about to die, the all karma born matter ceases to arise with the 16th or maybe 17th consciousness reckon backward from the death consciousness. Suppose here is death consciousness. Then we reckon backward, taking that consciousness as one, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 17. So with the dissolution of that consciousness, no more karma-born matter are produced in that life. But what is produced at that moment will last until the moment of death. So there is only one heart base at that time for these 16 thought moments. So, but in one who is facing death, 16 consciousnesses arises with a single pre-needs and physical heart basis as their support, which has already reached presence. These are all Abhidhamma. And the materiality that arose at the instant of arising of the rebirth linking consciousness ceases along with the 16 consciousness after the rebirth linking consciousness and so on. So if you understand that a material property lasts for 17 thought moments, then you can understand this. Now next is karma born materiality. These are all Abhidhamma. With regard to karma born materiality, then we have to understand how many? 6, right? Karma, and what is originated by karma, what has karma as its condition, what is originated by consciousness, that has karma as its condition, what is originated by nutriment, that has karma as its condition, and what is originated by temperature, that has karma as its condition. So there are six kinds to be understood with regard to karma-born matter. Now here, karma is profitable and unprofitable volition. Now that is very, very important. So if we talk about karma, we often say karma is a good deed or action. Actions are called karma. But technically speaking, karma means volition, profitable and unprofitable, or wholesome and unwholesome volition, kusala and akusala, chitana in Pali. And what is originated by karma is a karma result and aggregates, and the 70 instances of materiality beginning with the I take it and so on. You have to take it from Abhidhamma. And then what has karma as its condition is the same as the last, since karma is the condition that upholds what is originated by karma. And what is originated by consciousness, that has karma as its condition. Is materiality originated by karma, result and consciousness? Consciousness produces matter, right? So the matter produced by result and consciousness is called what is originated by consciousness, that has karma as its condition. And then what is originated by nutriment, that has karma as its condition, is so called, since the nutritive essence that has reached presence in the instances of materiality originated by karma originates a further octave with nutritive essence as 8. That means the inseparable 8. And the nutritive essence there that has reached presence also originates a further 1 and so on. So it links up 4 or 5 occurrences of octaves. What is originated by temperature, that is karma as its condition, is called, it is so called, since the karma born fire element that has reached presence originates an octet with nutritive essence as 8 and so on. So with regard to karma born materiality, we have to understand 6 things. And then with regard to consciousness born materiality, how many? 5. Consciousness, what is originated by consciousness, what is consciousness at this condition, what is originated by nutriment, that is consciousness at this condition, and what is originated by temperature, that has consciousness as its condition. Here in consciousness is the 89 kinds of consciousness. So you take them from the chart at the end of the book or from the manual of Abhidhamma. So consciousness 32 and 26 and 19 2 are reckoned to give birth to matter and so on. Now, among them, there are some consciousnesses which produce not only matter but postures and intimation, and some just posture and so on. So some types of consciousness can help us to maintain a posture for a long time. That is why when you have a good concentration, you can sit for 2-3 hours without feeling any discomfort, without feeling any weakness, or without feeling sleepy or whatever. So that happens to yogis when they reached to the higher stages of vipassana meditation. So their meditation is very good and their concentration is strong, and so they can sit for a long time. Sometimes they don't sleep at all for 1 or 2 days, but they don't feel any ill effects of lack of sleep or whatever. So that is because some types of consciousness have the ability to maintain the posture, to keep our bodies in one posture for a long time. And that is why when a person is in trance, we call it samabhati, in jhana, then he could sit for 7 days without changing his posture. So there are some types of consciousness which helps to maintain postures. I think there are two groups. The first group, right? 32 consciousness, namely the 8 profitable consciousness, the 12 unprofitable, the 10 functional excluding the mind element, and the 2 direct knowledge consciousnesses are profitable and functional, give rise to materiality, to postures, and to intimation. 3 kinds. And the next 26, they are javana moments of rupa vajra, arupa vajra, and lokutra. So they give rise to materiality, to posture, but not to intimation and so on. Now, the next paragraph, what is originated by consciousness is the 3 other material aggregates, that is, feeling, perception, and mental formation, and 17 full materiality, namely the sound and net, bodily intimation, verbal intimation, and so on. Now, the student of Abhidharma, do you find any discrepancy here with the manual of Abhidharma? In the manual of Abhidharma, only 15 are said to be born of consciousness, right? Here they are given as 17. So growth and continuity are not included in those originated by consciousness in the manual of Abhidharma. But here they are also taken to be originated by consciousness. These 2 will be added to other groups too. And what does consciousness as its condition is the materiality of fulfilled origination stated thus. Post-nascent states of consciousness and consciousness concomitants are a condition. As post-nascent condition for its present body, every nascent body, that is from Patana. And what is originated by nutriment, that is consciousness as its condition, the nutritive essence that has reached pre-nascence in consciousness originated material instances originated further octet with nutritive essence as A, and thus links up 2 or 3 occurrences of octets. These are all of Abhidharma. So if you want to understand them, please read chapter 6 of the manual of Abhidharma. So after chapter 6, you come back here and then you will understand. Nutriment born materiality, the same, say nutriment, what is originated by nutriment, and so on. Here also, paragraph 36, what is originated by nutriment? There are 14 material properties mentioned here. But in the manual of Abhidharma, only 12 are mentioned without growth and continuity. And then in paragraph 37, one thing is worthy of notice, and that is nutriment smeared on the body originates materiality. Now, normally we think that only food eaten through mouth can originate materiality. But here it is said that also nutriment smeared on the body originates materiality. So sometimes it may be possible to smear some food on our body, and then it will cause the nutriment-born matter to arise. And then next, temperature-born materiality, say, here also in paragraph 40, that materiality.